board member James Futrell, if you could lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Madam Clerk, if you could do the roll call, please.
If y'all would please sign in for me, I'd appreciate it. Don't make me call your name.
No, that's right. He's also absent. That's right.
Have you heard from Kristen?
Yes, she may be absent. She probably will be.
But then we're here. We have 24 present.
I would like to next ask everyone to stand up so we could observe a moment of silence for former probation director Judy Dallas, former county board member Jack Franson, and the mother of Judy Kuhn, Dorothy Knabel. Thank you. I would now like to go into the awards portion of tonight's meeting, and I would like to invite Mike Walters forward, and then anyone, any county board member who would like to come up who represents parts of the Edwardsville School District. Let me move to the podium. We have some state champions in tennis, and the large school, is it 3A?
2A,
okay. And I'd like to give this over to Mike Walters. Mike Walters, as you know, is an avid tennis player and coach, and so, Mike, if you could.
Yeah, thank you very much.
And also, I'd like to invite any Edwardsville County Board members to come forward.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and read the resolution, then I'm going to give you guys a quick background on the Edwardsville tennis team and their coach. A resolution honoring Edwardsville High School IHSA 2A doubles tennis champions, whereas the Edwardsville High School doubles team won the 2017 Class 2A Illinois High School Association State Championship on May 27, 2017, whereas junior Alex Gray and sophomore Zach Trempe defeated Lake Forest High School doubles team with a 6-1, was it 1-1? Wow, 6-1, 6-1 victory. And whereas the tennis duo became the first doubles team to win a state championship at Edwardsville High School, and whereas the Edwardsville pair is the first Metro East team to win a doubles championship since East St. Louis won it in 1923 and Greenville in 1928, and whereas Madison County Board recognizes the doubles team as well as Coach Dave Light for their hard work and commitment which brought the school and the community this honor. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the County Board of Madison County, Illinois, that it hereby recognizes Alex Gray and Zach Trempe for their outstanding tennis season and for winning the Illinois State Doubles Championship adopted the 16th day of August 2017. I make that motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
As Kurt told you, you guys might as well get comfortable because I'm going to talk. I am the Marquette coach. I started 3 years ago, and one of the people I called was Dave Leip. Usually, if you've ever been around tennis, the great players and the great coaches tend to be arrogant people. I want to talk a little bit about these two gentlemen, then a little more about Dave. When we were up there, I coached the boys, the Marquette team this year. We went pretty far. We did okay, nothing like these guys did. But in the hotels, I saw these gentlemen, talked to them for a few minutes, and later in the evening I had parents from other schools go, "Are you their coach?" I said, "No, I'm from that area." They said, you know, I wish the teams we played acted like these two kids did. They said they're phenomenal tennis players, but they're even better people. And as a coach, you hear that and you're going, wow, that's really neat, because most tennis players aren't like that. And it wasn't one. It was two or three parents from two or three different teams. So, gentlemen, I want to congratulate you on your tennis and the way you held yourself up there. Dave Light, class act, just phenomenal. If he's not the best coach, he is the best coach in the St. Louis area. If he's not the best in Illinois, he's one of the best. This gentleman will work with anybody. He's worked with some of my players, all my players. Just tell you a little bit about Dave. About a year and a half ago, one of my tennis players lost his life to an automobile accident. Dave called me, said, what can we do? We'd like to raise some money to help this young man's family with the medical bills. So when we went to sectionals, him, Robert Logan, the former coach of Alton High, got together some money and we bought some shirts. And each team, Edwardsville had orange, Marquette was blue, Wood River was maroon, Roxana was red, Alton High was also red, different color. And each team, every player, every coach had a shirt with all the teams, and on the back said Zach Hunter, he was a hockey player too, and his number. And that was because of somebody like Dave Leib. September 18th last year, Alton High coach Robert Logan, my nephew, lost his battle with cancer. Dave Leib was one of the first people to call and offer any condolences or what we could do. At the funeral, we had the Alton High tennis team, Marquette tennis team, the Thaltos tennis team, because their coach was Robert's doubles and Dave Leib's tennis team. Came. That just tells you the type of class act that Dave Leib is, and somebody I hope to someday be. But what I'd like to do is turn this over to you two, or Coach, would you like to talk a little bit about the boys and during the season? I know you're the assistant coach, but at least you guys could talk a little bit about how much fun and how enjoyable and how nerve-wracking it is to go. Last year they finished fourth, correct?
Yeah.
So, guys, go ahead.
I mean, it was – how close do I
– That's close enough.
Okay. So last year we came in fourth, and that was record-breaking for our school, which was a really cool experience for us, especially as a freshman. I mean, he was only a freshman, and I was a sophomore. That was an amazing experience, and we came into this year hoping to win and just do it for our school and, like, our whole area, like, the whole entire county. And, like, it was just a really good experience to be up there, and, like, all of the Chicago schools, like, supported us, which isn't a very customary thing, but, like, we had a lot of support, because even though we had a good seed, we were still the underdogs in a lot of people's minds, because nobody from Southern Illinois had won in so many years. So it was definitely a really good experience to win and do it for the whole area, for sure.
Yeah, I think it was a really good experience, but I would first like to thank Paul, because Paul was there during our final match. I mean, he let us do our thing, and, I mean, he was a great coach during the season, and he was a great coach through the rest of the tournament, because Dave had to leave after the quarterfinal match. But and then I'd like to thank my parents, and then Alex's parents too, and then, because they've all done so much for us, and I think without them we wouldn't have got this far. And just to be at that state tournament representing Illinois and all the 6-1-8, it was just a really neat experience, something that I wish I could do over and over again.
All right, good evening. Well, thank you for recognizing us. Thank you very much for having us. My name is Paul Stewart. I'm one of the assistant principals at the high school, and one of my roles at the high school is supervising some of the sports. Luckily for me, I get to supervise both the tennis teams, both the boys and the girls team. I was the assistant coach on the boys team while I was a teacher, so the fit is really good there, and I'm an avid tennis player as well. What was really interesting about this state tournament is Dave Leib's daughter was a senior and graduated on the day that they played the final, and he got the honor from the student body to read the names at graduation. And our principal, Dennis Cramsey, told him, you have to be at graduation. Paul can take care of the doubles team. He knows what he's doing. He can take care of that. You need to be at graduation. So it's a very unique situation as far as why I was there and Dave was not. That being said, I think we had both had great experiences. I was texting him and calling him basically after every match and after every changeover, letting him know what the situation was. The great thing for me is when I talked to these guys before the tournament, I said, you know what, I have all the faith in the world in your shot-making ability and your decision-making. Just go out there and have fun with it and be in the moment and just enjoy it. And they had some adversity through the tournament, but they had the competitive greatness to play their best when their best was needed. And like Zach said, they get another chance at it this year, so we'll see how it goes for this school year. But thank you very much for the time and the honor. It's a great honor to be here.
Unfortunately, you were not able to see their shoes. They both have fantastic shoes.
It's okay, right?
I would like to now invite some speakers to come forward. Amanda Greathouse, are you in the audience? Yes. And we allow, unfortunately, we allow more time for county board members like Mike Walters to speak, but unfortunately for speakers, we have a rule that there's a three-minute limit. And then at 2.5 minutes, I'll sound the gavel.
Okay. All right. Should I start now? Okay. My husband, Walter Greathouse, has been an employee of Metro East Sanitary District since 2012 and was one of the 10 union laborers targeted and laid off on July 29th, with 10 more scheduled for the second round, nearly 40% reduction of the workforce. Revenue for MESD is obtained by direct tax on the assessed valuation of all real property within the district, which means taxpayers are paying into a general fund to fund operations and maintenance, not to fund the Lansdowne operations. Those are generated by users' fees, not taxpayer dollars. MESD operates and maintains 37 miles of levee, 16,000 feet of flood wall, 52 miles of canal, 14 miles of sanitary sewers, and 8 storm water pump stations. The levees operated and maintained protect thousands of lives, homes, and jobs. If MESD is in good standing with the Corps Public Law 8499, then the Corps may pay for damages caused by flooding, such as slides, pumps damage, sinkholes, or any other flood-related damage. Good standing refers to the maintaining of the levees to Corps standards. If MESD fails to be in good standing, which may very well happen because of these layoffs, then the Corps may not repair or pay for the repairs to the levees. In addition, all residents, businesses, properties within certain areas would be required to purchase flood insurance. Pump stations must be manned and operated 24/7 anytime the river rises above 18.6 feet. It takes 14 employees to manage and operate 3 pump stations without overtime. There aren't enough employees to cover the shifts due to the layoffs. Per contract, if one union member is laid off, no other employees can be hired. Otherwise, it will become a legal issue. Adler has admitted that laborers are being targeted. 3 part-timers are continuing to operate pump stations, even though 10 employees have been laid off and is in violation of union contract. Lansdowne operation is the root cause of financial strain at MESD. They lost $1.17 million last year alone. So why are the union laborers solely being targeted? Why did Steve Adler receive a raise while 20 employees are being laid off? How can you maintain the levies to the Corps standard in order to receive PL 8499 assistance? Union contract prohibits the operating engineer crew 148 from maintaining those levies. How are you going to man the pump stations when required? It takes 14 employees to man 3 stations without overtime. How much is this really going to cost the county? Possible loss of PL 8499 assistance due to non-satisfactory maintenance of the levees, potential wrongful termination, violation of contract from employees. How are residents and businesses of the county going to react when they learn they are potentially being put in harm's way due to lack of maintenance of the levee system, all the while paying taxes for said maintenance? If the union laborers aren't there maintaining the levees, MESD may not meet core standards, and thousands of lives and properties will no longer be safe when disaster strikes. By continuing down the path of workforce reduction, you are endangering the lives, businesses, and properties of thousands in the community, as well as the financial future of the county. I encourage you to discontinue with politics as usual and do what is right by the employees, the community, and the people you serve. Sorry I had to talk to so fast. I wanted to get everything in.
Thank you, Ms. Greathouse. If you would like to leave this with the clerk. I would next invite Leedy Van Cavage to speak, our second speaker.
Can I go? All right. Thank you, County Board Chair, and all the members. I'm sure you're getting tired of getting my emails about animal control, but we do have a troubled animal control department. Tawny Hammond, who was in charge of the Austin Animal Control and Fairfax County Animal Control, visited the facility on August 4th, and she had some recommendations. Basically, a supervisor is needed. Somebody with a law enforcement background or a humane background would be appropriate because there's no job descriptions, there's no performance evaluations, and no real standard operating procedures. This is extremely problematic. There's also mission creep. It's pretty evident. Under the Illinois Animal Control Act, you don't even have to take in cats that are not bite cases. However, I left a sheet with you, a handout, and actually during the week of July 24th, Animal Control took in 53 cats and 18 dogs. 31 cats were brought in by city animal control departments. Zero were reunited with their owners. So why is the county bringing in healthy cats and kittens just to kill them? 66% of cats left alone go back to their home. So basically, Cook County adopted a trap-neuter-return program. They saved the county $1.8 million. Alton just adopted a trap, neuter, and return program, and Best Friends funded gave a grant for $9,000 to Metro East for that program. So I know most of you heard about the rally cat during the Cardinals game. I was there. My husband had to restrain me from going onto the field to try to get the cat. But, you know, like, we can do better for cats like the rally cat in Madison County. You know, the good news is if the county hired a supervisor, I wouldn't be bugging you all, you know, and we'd get a progressive animal control ordinance passed, I'm sure, with the help of our wonderful state's attorney, Tom Gibbons, you know, and basically we could start changing things at animal control and stop the culture of killing. But, you know, time, money, and lives are being wasted, so we need you guys to act. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Bankavich. Would you like to leave your notes with the county? Okay, all right, very good. Madam Clerk, if you would please lead us in the approval of the if I could have a motion to approve the minutes of July 19th meeting.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay. I think we have three appointments this evening. Is there any desire to have these broken out, or should we all just approach them all together? Okay. We see those appointments. All in favor?
I'm sorry.
We need a motion. So moved. We have a second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Mr. Chairman, excuse me.
Yes.
I'm sorry. On number three, animal control administrator.
That's been pulled.
That's been pulled?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Okay. Now, I'm reminded of the book by Mark Twain, Tom Sawyer, when Tom, as you know, they in the story that Tom and Huck, they thought they were drowned in the river, but Tom and Huck were managed to go up into the church balcony, and they watched their own funeral. And I think at the end of that, they were crying themselves. So we said goodbye to Helen Hawkins, I think, in May, and now we're saying hello again to Helen Hawkins. And Helen, if I can invite you to come to the front to be sworn in again. That's fine with me.
Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Thank you.
I would like to introduce to everyone the youngest member of the Madison County Board, Helen Hawkins.
I would just like to say that I'm happy to come home. We got a lot accomplished at the Levy District. We have a long way to go, but we got a good start. I was fortunate to get our lake, Horseshoe Lake, lowered, all of the drainage ditches cleared of the trees and brush. We have a lot of work to do on the county. The county ditch is very important, and I know all of you will want to work together because we have magnificent warehouses, new development that we must protect from flood. So I thank you so much for the opportunity to come home to the county board to do another project. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hawkins. Ms. Hawkins, we are unable to adjust our computer system so that... Okay, I was afraid you would have to be known as Ms. Vacant this evening in District 16, but evidently... Our very competent Madam Clerk was able to make sure that your name is put up there right away.
That's on tape. Y'all heard that.
Too much to sign this.
Okay. I would, let's see, who are we? Who's inviting and who's bringing in? Mr. Michael, could I please ask you to bring in the two resolutions for the Tax Cycle Committee, please.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen on the board, as you may know, Mr. Chapman is on a family vacation. So your Real Estate Tax Cycle Committee has two items for you to consider this evening. I'd like to separate them out if that's okay. The first item is the normal property trustee resolution. That was unanimously approved at the committee meeting last week, and I move for its adoption.
Second.
We have a second.
Any discussion?
I just have a question. Why are we why are we not following the agenda?
Because our treasurer has to leave early tonight. Oh, that's okay. The reason we moved Real Estate Tax Cycle. We went with that first. Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call.
Oops.
Motion carries. Now, Ms. Kuhn very appropriately asked why we were going out of order. And she may have wondered if this had something to do with the moon. But that brought up just a reminder. I want everyone to be prepared. I know that that's important, and I'd like everyone to be safe this upcoming August 21st. So we have some glasses here that I purchased at Target just yesterday. And that I just wanted to remind everyone that we will not in Madison County have the full solar eclipse. Mr. Holliday, would you like to speak to this from the health department?
I was going to ask, did you purchase some for each member of the board?
You got me on that one.
I thought that's what you was going to say.
But I do want to thank Annette Schoberly for... there was a big search on yesterday. We were all looking for them, and she managed to. I was on my way to Deerberg's, but she called me and let me know that they were at Target. So that's an exciting.
I do have something on that.
Yes, Mr. Holliday.
For those who may not be able to purchase glasses, you can buy cheap welder's glasses, which will do a perfect replacement for them.
How much are welder's glasses?
You can buy some for like $3 to $5.
Well, this was $1.50.
Oh, okay.
Yes, Mr. Gavillo.
As I was reading on NASA's website, you have to have a number 14 or greater shield, not just welder's glasses. There is
okay.
A number on those welder's glasses shields. It appears number 14.
I was told that it was a an ISO number. Which is on these glasses that is appropriate. So I'm not the expert.
It is with welder's glasses that he's talking about.
Yeah. Okay. Welder's glasses. If you're getting welder's glasses, you'll look for at least number 14.
Correct.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, the second item from the Real Estate Tax Cycle Committee is a resolution to award a 4-year contract for our lockbox collector bank service for the Madison County Treasurer's Office, and that will be awarded to First Collinsville Bank, FCB, for $15,000, and I move for its adoption.
I have a second. Second. Any discussion?
Yes, sir.
Yes, Ms. Champelli.
Yes. I just wanted to thank the treasurer, Chris Slusher. The other bids that came in on this item were in the $300,000 range, and he got it down to $15,000. And I just want to commend him for that tax savings to the county.
Any additional comments?
Yeah, I'm always.
Yes, Mr. Asadorian.
Mr. Chairman, I'm always leery when bids vary so much. I'm trying to find the paper because I remember reading it this morning. But why is there so much of a difference?
Mr. Slusser, would you like to respond to that? Mr. Asadorian was wondering why the bids varied so much.
It's a wide.
Sure. We were actually pretty taken back when we saw the bids as well. What we did, just to kind of explain the process, we contacted every bank that had a presence in Madison County, and we advertised it to get as many bids as we could. And in the end, only 4 banks ultimately decided to place a bid because it is a complex process and was a little overwhelming for some of the banks, and they just didn't wish to take it on. So Patrick McCray in my office, my deputy treasurer, and also Jolie Sabatino, who's one of my union staff members, she deals most directly with our lockbox provider, our current one. So I knew the two of them, they basically were the point people on this. They thoroughly, they answered all the questions when people were putting their bids together to, if they hadn't done the service or our service, they needed to know exactly what our scope of work was. So that was all thoroughly gone through. We received sealed bids. When we opened those, we were taken back, obviously, at the one low bidder. They got really aggressive. That was First Collinsville Bank. So we then met with each bidder, except for Associated, which was out of Chicago. We toured the facilities of the other three. We thoroughly vetted them, went over and over, just to make sure we weren't missing anything. And so I actually sent them back again twice just to make sure that there was nothing we were missing there, and the bid was legit, and that's they got aggressive and won the business. So
being aggressive is one thing. This is, we're talking about $331,000, $345,000, $396,000, and $15,000. Are we sure that they know what they're bidding on?
Absolutely. There's another component to this because they are able to earn interest credit. Just like at your bank, when you have a bank account, you probably earn 0.05% on your savings account right now. The Federal Reserve is paying that bank either 1.25%. And so they're able to keep the spread there. That's how they make their money. And so they're able to do that with our account as well. They pay us a little bit of interest, but obviously there's a spread between what they pay their customer and what the Federal Reserve pays them. And so they're able to – there's a pretty large – credit there because we have $400 million coming through this account every year. And so it was when the original bids went out, this was the federal interest rate was 1%. Well, now it's gone up to 1.25%, and some of the banks I think took into consideration only what we were dealing with at the time, and I think the other bank probably took the looked at the outlook that interest rates are going to continue to rise and it was going to wash out. Our current provider, which was Bank of Edwardsville, has provided this service for free for the last 20 years because of that interest credit. Now, its rates have gone down, and so that's why they had to start charging, and that's why we put it out for bid. But that's basically what it – I know it's shocking to see that, and I was planning to add a whole lot of money to our budget that I wasn't excited about.
Disturbing. But, okay, right. if you guys feel like all the bases are covered, that's fine.
Sure. Any other questions?
Oh, just, yeah, thanks again, Mr. Treasurer, for doing all this. We really appreciate it. I think it maybe is disturbing when you look at it, but when you think about the last 20 years, the Bank of Edwardsville has been doing it for free. It puts it in a lot better perspective for people to understand that $15,000 actually isn't that crazy when they've actually been doing it for free for 2 decades.
Right, and we weren't excited about changing because change is always difficult, and our staff has had a good working relationship with the Bank of Edwardsville. But you know, they even told us, they're like, we're sorry we didn't get the business, but as a taxpayer, it looks like we're getting a good deal here. So, you know, and 4 years from now, it'll be back out for bid again. So,
any additional comments or questions?
Yes, Kurt.
Yes, Mr. Madison.
Like Mr. Michael, I would like to commend Bank of Edwardsville for providing that service for free for all those years, but also First Bank of Collinsville for agreeing to do this for so much less. They're right here at home, and that's a huge savings for us and a huge benefit to us, and I appreciate it.
Yep. And we're, like I said, we're sad to leave our current provider because of the long-term relationship, but we are excited at the new opportunity to work with the new provider as well. So we think they'll do a good job.
Any additional comments or questions? Hearing none, roll call. Motion carries. Ms. Champoli, would you please bring in the items from the Finance and Government Operations Committee?
Mr. Chairman, fellow board members, the Finance and Government Operations Committee has six items on the agenda. It is, number one is the summary reports of claims and transfers, an immediate emergency appropriation for jail groceries and jail medical. Number three is an immediate emergency appropriation for 2017 Child Advocacy CAC NCA grant. Number four is the immediate emergency appropriation 2017 Friends of Children Advocacy Center grant. Number five is an immediate emergency appropriation 2017, the CAC from the Alton Women's House Association grant. Number six is an immediate emergency appropriation for 2017 CAC and GJS Foundation grant. Excuse me. They were voted on unanimously, and I make a motion to accept these.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any comments or questions? Hearing none, roll call. Motion carries. Mr. Jones, would you please bring in the resolutions from the Grants Committee and the Finance and Operations Committee?
Mr. Chairman, my fellow board members, I'd like to bring forward a resolution authorizing a one-year contract with the Leadership Council of Southwestern Illinois for the Madison County Community Development, and also a resolution to rescind a June 2017 resolution authorizing a public infrastructure loan to the Manny Jackson Center for Humanities.
Motion. We have a second.
Yes.
Any comments or discussion?
Just a question. Why is the money for the Manny Jackson Center for Humanities being rescinded? Is there?
Mr. Jones, would you like to address that?
Sorry, I was.
Mr. Asadorian asked, yes. Why is the resolution to rescind the resolution for the Manny Jackson Center?
There were questions on how we could use those UDAG loans, and that this may not be the most appropriate form. Of a appropriate form to give funds in through the UDAG itself.
Mr. Asadorian, I might add that was actually not what was requested from the Manny Jackson Center. Okay. And it's my understanding that the support exists among the county board members to support the STEM program that the Manny Jackson Center has embarked upon. Right. STEM meaning science, technology, engineering, and math. But this was not the way that they requested it, and we're working on providing that in an appropriate way.
Okay. So it's not like it's a dead issue. I mean, it's just.
That's correct. It's not a dead issue. That's correct.
Okay,
any additional comments or questions? Hearing none.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr.
So
McRae.
What committee will this go through? Will this go through grants again? Or, I mean, what did they ask for if they?
It may go through institutions. It may be because it's more educational oriented. I'm not exactly sure about that.
Okay. Would it be a loan or a grant, or what form is this going to take?
We don't know at this point.
Okay.
Asking for a grant.
Was a loan, which was what I, you know.
It will not. It will not be a loan. And may not be a grant, but so we'll
be for $100,000.
Yes, I believe it will be.
Okay.
So, we'll be discussing that in the future. That's in process at the present time. It's not a dead issue, and we do believe there is support for that.
Okay, thank you.
Any additional comments or questions? Hearing none, roll call. Motion carries. Mr. Holliday, if you could please introduce the activities report and the resolution from the Health Department.
First, I ask that the activity report be placed on file as presented, Chairman. Second, I have a resolution authorizing renewal of the medical consultant agreement. Whereas the Madison County Board of Health maintains and operates a county health department for Madison County residents in the county of Madison, Illinois, and whereas the Madison County Health Department requires professional medical services and certain other services from a physician licensed to practice medicine in Illinois on a constantly available basis, and whereas the medical consultant reviews protocols and makes recommendations to the public health administrator and professional staff on the medical aspects of operations and programs of the department as necessary in keeping with sound medical practice, and whereas Mark E. McGranahan, MD, FAAP, has provided these services under past agreements with the Board of Health and continues to provide these services for Madison County Health Department, and whereas the agreement includes recitals, services, and exclusive terms to continue in full force and effect for a period of 3 years from the date of entry into said agreement for the amount of $1,175 per month, now therefore be it resolved by the Madison County Board of Health that the County Board Chairman is hereby directed and designated to execute said agreement with Mark E. McGranahan, MD, FAP, for provide medical consultant services to the Health Department, and I so move.
We have a second. Any discussion or questions? Hearing none, roll call. Motion carries. Mr. Goggin, if I could ask you to bring in the resolution from the IT and Finance IT Committee and the Finance and Government Operations Committee.
Mr. Chairman, fellow board members, the IT and Finance Committees have one resolution. A resolution to award a one-year laptop and computer purchasing agreement for Madison County Information Technology, and I move for its approval.
We have a second. Any comments or questions? Yes, Mr. Maxwell.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I truly want to thank Mr. Dorman and the IT committee for getting this first step towards standardizing the IT for Madison County. And I would ask that all the elected officials please look at their department and seriously consider getting on board with this. Over the long term, I firmly believe that this will save Madison County not only in standardization and security costs, but also in IT costs in the long haul.
Thank you, Mr. Maxwell. Any other additional comments or questions? Hearing none, roll call. Motion carries. Mr. Wesley, if I could ask you to bring in the two resolutions from the Personnel and Labor Relations Committee.
Mr. Chairman, can we separate one and two?
If you could please separate those resolutions.
We will certainly do that. Mr. Chairman, fellow board members, the first resolution I will bring forward is a resolution authorizing the continuation of the self-funded health benefits program and the health savings account program. And it was voted on in committee unanimously, and I move for its approval.
We have a second. Any comments or questions? Hearing none, roll call. Motion carries. Mr. Wesley, the second resolution.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, fellow board members, the next resolution coming out of the Personnel and Labor Relations Department is a resolution authorizing the purchase of a human resource information system service agreement. And it was also voted on in committee unanimously, and I move for its adoption.
We have a second. Any comments or questions?
I don't have any information on this in my packet or anything. I did not receive
you
anything.
You did not receive any information. Was it emailed to you?
I get some emails. I don't get others.
Was it on? Was it on
is,
the?
Is there a?
Was it
but on the amended one?
It was on the agenda that was posted on the internet on Monday.
I got it on the agenda. I don't have any information about it. That's what I'm saying. I don't have the resolution in front of me.
Mr. Chairman, I do know we have a sheet that was handed to us today on the cost on a 5-year five and 10-year program on the two bids. So I know that's not all the information that Mr. Astadorian probably needs, but I'm sure that's some of it.
I will say that from the meeting yesterday or Monday that it was brought to our attention that once we implement this program, it's estimated that we'll save approximately up to 5% annually, which would amount to about $2.45 million annually. So it's a pretty significant savings, and which is why we move forward. Even if we only get to 25% or half of that, it's still a significant savings year over year.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, if there's questions, if Craig is in the audience, I believe he could probably answer most of the questions that anybody would have. He was one of the point persons on this.
Are there any questions for Mr. Craig Edwards, yeah. Mr. Malone?
I don't know if it's for him. I'm just curious. Did this require any kind of impact bargaining with AFSCME or any of the unions?
That was my concern, is that before we adopt this resolution, can we make sure that we have contractual agreements with the employees and that everything's copacetic before we implement?
Mr. Thompson, Mr. John Thompson, if you would like to address some questions.
Well, on the impact that we'll be bargained with the unions, they're aware of what we're proceeding forward with. And because there's a lot of different modules to this. You're talking about the bargaining impact probably of the time clock, the labor management system, and each department will have different options that they can adopt based on what their needs are going to be.
So the answer is yes, it will require impact bargaining?
Yes, we'll have to bargain the impact, yes.
Okay.
So does it make sense to vote on the system until we
that's
have
my, gonna, we that's my concern.
Okay,
rather than putting something in place and then hoping that we can negotiate with the union members and get it all cleared up, maybe we should do the other one first.
Well,
if they're aware of what this is,
yes,
then
yes.
We could do the negotiations and make sure that everything's set to go when we implement this rather than the other way around.
Well, we do have a timeline. We'd like to get this done by the end of the year, and we'd like to get the implementation starting. And then, because each department will have their own choice. You know, there's constitutional departments. They'll have their option as far as the time and labor management. There's time clocks, there's mobile devices that could be used, there's workstations where a person could just key it in on their computer. So there's a lot of different options. We were going to bargain that.
Mr. Thompson, yes, Mr. Wesley, go ahead.
I would suggest that because we need to get this purchased and get the ball rolling on this, if there are any impact negotiations to be done, they certainly can be doing that while we get everything in place, and we are under a time constraint to get this in place if we are expecting to roll out.
I also have a question for Mr. Thompson. If the time clock module, you mentioned there were several modules in this software, that's only one of many modules.
That's one of many. It's what we're going to change our payroll system provider, and we're going to upgrade our benefit interface with our providers. In addition to that, there's a talent acquisition, talent management module. There's a performance evaluation module. This is a human resource management system. There's a lot involved.
And if the module regarding the time clock is deemed inappropriate, then that would not be turned on. Is that correct?
That's appropriate to say. Yeah, we can continue doing it the same way we're doing it. That'll happen. We have other things we want to implement first, and we'll do that down the road.
So you're saying that issue could be bargained over in good faith?
Yes.
And there are other modules that do not require impact bargaining that we could implement.
Does that answer your question, Mr. Astadorian?
No, because I just think that, I'd rather have the employees on board with an agreement, and then because I don't want to have to buy something and not use it.
you know, that's just a small part of the program, of
but it's still, it's part of the program that we're paying for. So if we could just suggest that we table this to next meeting. I mean, you said you got to the end of the year, right? You know, that's still another 4 months. If we could table this to next meeting and let whoever meet with the AFSCME negotiators and at least try and get a somewhat of an agreement, verbal agreement, before we vote on this, well, I would feel a lot more comfortable.
So
I ask that we table this to the next meeting.
Well, being aware.
One second.
Mr. Chairman, could we call a special meeting?
Mr. Chairman?
Jack, did you second the motion?
Yes, I did.
Okay,
we already have a motion and a second
on the floor.
Supersedes it.
Well, this is a motion.
We have to act on that first.
The motion to table is a privilege motion.
So we have a motion to table, and we have a second. And are there any comments or questions?
I have a question.
Mr. Fasson? I'm sorry. Mr. Fasson's been waving his hand.
I just left the meeting before this. And correct me if I'm wrong, Tommy Tripp, the meeting did a very good job of doing that. There's an upfront cost of $212,000 a year. Now, the question is, over time, is there a savings? And I wasn't necessarily hearing that. So I think that's important to consider, too. Not criticizing the system, not saying it won't work, but I think it's important to know that there is an upfront cost of $212,000. So I just want to...
Mr.
We have a motion and a second to table. I'm open for comments or questions. Mr. Holliday?
I'd like to know if there is data dictating the savings that it's going to be. Do we have pertinent data saying that?
No, we don't. What we have is past practice from the vendors. You know, they're selling us a product, but we anticipate savings. A lot of it will be soft savings. What's done by each department every other Friday. Because what happens now, if people aren't aware, everybody fills out a timesheet, and all they do is write down how many hours they work, and they turn it in every other Friday. That's the only labor management we have in most of our hourly employees. We have 930 employees. Most of them are hourly. No one uses a time clock. That's unheard of anywhere I've ever been.
Mr. Thompson.
Mr. Chairman, excuse me.
Yes, Mr. McCray.
But I have a point of order, Mr.
McCray. Mr. Esserdorn, you've spoken already. Mr. McCray.
And I mean, the one of the things that, because I thought the same thing, Art, I was wondering, is there really a hurry to do this? Because we had a one-hour discussion prior to this meeting in the Finance Committee, and there are some things that for W-2s and things like that that really need to be, that information needs to be uploaded probably now to make this system, to optimize this for the end of the year. And there's other things, too. The other thing, too, that Annette and Cheryl and Craig, I think they all were enthusiastic about this system and saying that it really is going to prevent they and their colleagues from doing a lot of redundant, mundane work that they have to do to get time to get payroll out. And I'm actually surprised. I actually was surprised that we had no time clock. My wife is a registered nurse at Gateway Regional in Granite City. She's an hourly employee, and they clock in. And I thought that was a minimum expectation of hourly employees. And I just I was surprised that we have an archaic kind of a time card system where people just say, you worked 8 hours today. And there were very legitimate examples. And I think Mr. Esserdorn has I had the same concern, what's the hurry? But I think if we're going to optimize this, it probably does need to be passed. And because I had my concerns as well. The savings are, I think, if you optimize if someone's late or someone thinks they worked overtime, you know, I think that the savings will be legitimate, but every organization is going to be different.
Mr. Chairman,
Mr. Wesley, I think
we can only speak on the motion to table, not the original motion. There's a motion to table.
That's fine. I think Mr. McCray said that he was not in favor of delaying. Mr. Wesley?
Mr. Chairman, the question was asked during this discussion what the savings were. And there are, and I
but are you, Mr. Wesley, are you speaking on the motion? Mr. Esserdorn is
I'm speaking on the question
motion
was asked
to table.
During the question to table. And With all due respect, Mr. Thompson, I believe we have some savings built into this program. It is a locked-in date forever. Locked-in cost forever. We do have historical data from our current provider and from the provider that was not chosen, with built-in 3% and 4% increases per year. So there are some savings over the course of 5 to 10 years. So I disagree that there's no savings other than just capturing time. This was looked at for a very long time by a number of people, and I appreciate Mr. Asadorian's concern about dollars and getting it established in a hurry. But just like Mr. McRae said, there are things that are coming up that this has to be in place if we're going to be able to utilize it.
Mr. Wesley's finished. Mr. Asadorian, would you like to speak?
One final thing is that, and this is why I asked for a table motion, because I keep hearing things like I think, I believe, I feel. We don't have any real numbers.
That's what I asked for.
And we're kind of guessing on what we're voting on. And like I said, I just got this, thanks to Ms. Camponi, a chance to look at it right now. So until we have everything together, numbers, savings, costs, and labor agreement, why would we pass something and then have to start paying for it before we're ready for it? And I want to be fully informed as to what this is going to cost us and how much we're going to save, as well as a labor agreement.
Ms. Champulli?
Yes. To answer some of that, I've now had attended...
Could you speak? Please speak.
I've attended three meetings where this was discussed. It was discussed in finance under new business. There was a personnel meeting that it was discussed at on Monday. The union reps were there. Many questions were asked, and I didn't hear any response from them. Yes, I'm sure there might be some issues, but we're paying right now Highline a huge cost to do payroll, or the process that it does in payroll. So there is less cost to the county, probably roughly, probably about a $90,000 difference. And I think and I feel that we should move forward on this system. I have questions, but it is a work in progress, and I have a lot of answers. Many of my questions were answered. So I feel that we should go ahead and move forward on this issue.
Mr. Holliday?
Were department heads invited to these meetings to have input?
We invited the department, not the department head, we brought the committee for personnel into the administration.
No, department heads, all of our department heads in the county, were they invited to have input?
And that from safety and risk was integral in the meetings. IT and... safety and risk were involved in every meeting.
No other department directors were involved.
And administrative services.
Yes,
I should say
several,
those three.
There are several department heads.
Yes. The departments that use the benefit and payroll option day in and day out for years here.
In fact, they were not only invited to the meetings, they were an integral part of making this decision.
Correct. Exactly. And I'd like to say that we got, a $48 million a year payroll, and we don't use a timekeeping system. I've never heard of such a thing anywhere in the business world. And we wanted to modernize.
Any other discussion or comments?
Mr. Chairman, so if you vote yes, you're voting the table. If you vote no, you're voting.
Yes, the motion on the floor is to table.
Okay, thank you.
I would like to
any additional comments or questions?
I would like to mention that the money for this is in next year's budget. It is not going to impact 2017's budget upon implementation.
Any additional comments or questions? Hearing none, I will call for a roll call vote. This is a motion to table. So a yes vote is a motion to table. A no vote is a motion not to table.
Too many questions, but it's not going to
pass. Motion fails. We do have a motion on the floor to pass this resolution. Any comments or questions? Hearing none, roll call. Motion carries. Before Ms. Glasper, before you bring in the license report, I want to take this opportunity to thank the Sheriff's Department, Sheriff Lakin, and his staff. They saved the county from a lot of problems. We had a deadline of July 31st that was specifically with the ETSB board. I prefer to call it the 911 board. And this was the to follow through to reduce the number of 911 call centers from 16 to 8. And there were issues in the management of the 911 board, and the sheriff's office stepped in, and that's why we were able to comply with state law. And I want to thank specifically as an officer, Captain Eric Decker within the sheriff's office. So I do want to mention that that's a big problem that we are not looking at today because of the sheriff's office stepped in and did that. So, Ms. Glasper, if I could ask you to bring in the license report from the Public Safety Committee.
Yes, Mr. Chairman and fellow board members. Your Public Safety Committee would like to submit its report covering mobile home licenses, and I ask it to be placed on file.
Thank you. And if you could also bring in the resolution.
Also, along with the Emergency Telephone System Board and the Finance and Government Operations Committee, your Public Safety Committee has a resolution authorizing a 60-month op-eman service customized Switch Metro Ethernet service contract for the Madison County 911 Emergency Telephone System Department, and I move its adoption.
We have a second. We have a second.
Second.
Any discussion or comments or questions? Hearing none, roll call. Mr. Jones, would you please bring in the resolutions from the Sewer Facilities Committee?
1 second.
I'm sorry.
Motion carries.
Motion carries. Going too fast. Mr. Jones.
Mr. Chairman, my fellow board members, I'd like to bring forward the Sewer Facilities Committee and Finance and Government Operations Committee. I'd like to bring forward a resolution to upgrade 12 OmniSite crystal ball monitoring units for the Madison County Special Service Area Number 1. Resolution 2, a resolution to award contract engineering services for the force main relocation at Lift Station 23A, Madison County Special Service Area Number 1. Make those in form of a motion.
We need a second.
We got it.
Any discussion or comments? Hearing none, roll call. Motion carries. Mr. McRae, could you please bring in the resolution from the Transportation Committee? Mr. McRae?
I'm sorry.
If you could please bring in the resolution from the Transportation Committee.
The Transportation Committee has one item for the board to consider tonight. We have an agreement funding resolution for the 6th Street resurfacing in the city of Wood River. And it was unanimously approved by the Transportation Committee, and I would make a motion for its approval.
We have a second. Any discussion or comments?
I just got a real quick question. This is a real good price. Is the city of Wood River actually doing the work, or is it a contracted out? Because this is a good price.
No, it's a matching. It is a matching program. It's been identified for a federal match of a 25%, right, Mark? So it is a matching program that's been identified for funding that we routinely do.
Okay, and then the work's being contracted out, I take it? Or
yes, sir. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Any additional comments or questions? Hearing none, roll call. Would anyone like to...
I'm sorry. Going too fast.
Motion carries. Motion carries. Is there any new business anyone would like to bring forward?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Walters.
I just wanted to...
Oh, Ms. Kuhn.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to say thank you to everyone for the cards and the flowers and the donations given for my beautiful mom. It's hard to even talk about. She truly was loved by everyone and knew how to give an unconditional love to everyone she knew. I considered her more successful than any billionaire, and those that knew her truly did. Again, I'd like, just like to say thank you to everyone.
Thank you, Ms. Kuhn. Mr. Walters.
Yeah, I'd like to also extend some thank you to Sheriff Lakin and the Sheriff's Department. We had a couple of carjackings in Godfrey. One was a block from where I used to live, and the Sheriff's Department are on it. I think they're moving forward with it, and I believe soon they'll apprehend the people that did it. So, Sheriff, thank you very much. And I just want to do a smidge, a little bit of bragging here. I will be in Nashville this weekend at the halftime of the Tennessee Titans football game. The Marquette Catholic High School dance team will be performing a dance. They finished third in state, and somehow they were invited down, so we're going to be there this Saturday, so I'm real happy for them.
Are you part of that dance team?
Yes, I'm the leader. Yes, I get out there in the skirt and everything.
Are you going to give a speech to the people down there during halftime, too?
I get 15 minutes at halftime, so yes.
Mr. Chairman?
I move that we give Mr. Walters a cordless mic.
I'm sorry, Mr. Madison, could you speak up, please?
I move that we purchase Mike Walters a wireless microphone to carry around with him wherever he goes.
Okay, Ms. Hawkins.
Yes, I just want to say that I have gained the best of the two worlds. I have been asked to continue as an honorary member of MESD. I'm very pleased with that. We've had some terrible problems. The layoffs was the saddest thing. I begged, borrowed, and I didn't steal. All the federal people for money. Just today I got word that one pump station, the very important one for the Cahokia Canal, is 54%. They're all supposed to be 100%. Now, what I want to see most as an honorary member is these laid-off workers call back. I believe they are needed. They were always needed. The finance problem is what caused that. And like I said, I have the best of two worlds to be a volunteer with no pay. In fact, I'll pay them to serve on it and to be here. Thank you.
And for the record, I would like to just notice that during Helen's tenure on the MESD board, the Mississippi River level came down significantly. Now, I would introduce a motion.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. McCray.
I wanted to say that I'm glad to see Mr. Furman in the role of in manpower development. I think it's a key mission for the county. I have a question. So we had two people in there before. Now we've decided to break that back out and make it its own entity, right? Do you anticipate hiring another person, or will he be – is that it? Because before we rolled that under community development, and – now he has been – so is this it, or do you anticipate another person? Because we had two in there before.
I think in deference to Mr. Furman, we would have him review the department and see if he would think that would be necessary. But I would let him review.
And the other thing that I would just encourage him and the folks that work with him is to really have deliverables, because we do have – we have people – we have a number of unemployed steelworkers in Granite City that really – you know, they want a job. And I think that we can talk about retraining people and things like that, but it doesn't do any good to retrain people for jobs that aren't there. And so I'd like to see concrete deliverables, and I would really encourage – he has a great resume, and I know he brings a lot of experience to the table. But I would like to see, you know, deliverables from that organization.
Thank you. Any other additional new business? Hearing none, I would invite or entertain, or someone could bring in a motion to take us into executive session.
So moved.
This would be a motion to, and we have a second.
Second.
To take us into executive session. To review actions on specific personnel in accordance with 5 ILCS 120/2C1. All in favor?
Aye.
We do need a roll call? Okay, roll call. Motion carries. We're going into executive session.